Okay. No conflicts of interest, and the funding for this came from Prevent Blindness America. Okay, so the learning objectives that I want to talk about this morning are, I want to define what I mean by the visual impairment monetary dependency ratio. Describe the ratio from 2004 to 2030 in the United States as a whole and among the states, and then to analyze what changes in either the prevalence of visual impairment or the individual burden would need to occur to keep the dependency ratio constant. So, when we think about demographics, there's a concept out there of the dependency ratio. And basically, historically, it's been you count the population under 18, you count the population 65 and older, and you have a ratio of those two populations, or either one of those populations, to the population between 18 and 64. Now, you know, that worked historically when many people had already retired by the time they were 65, or 65 was sort of the age that most people retired at. As our population changes and more people work beyond 65, we may need to change where we draw that cutoff in terms of whether it should only be the 18 to 64 as the traditional working age population. Nevertheless, since nobody's come up with anything beyond that, that's what I used for this analysis. So what we have then is an estimate of the total dollar amount of excess medical care and excess informal care that is being used by people who are either visually impaired or blind. And that estimate came from some work, which I don't have a slide on, but I'll describe briefly, that I had done using a large national survey data set and trying to look at extra expenditures among people who self-reported as visually impaired or blind. And we found that if you looked at these figures, you got about $5.5 billion a year of extra expenditures on medical care and unpaid informal care that is being received by people who are visually impaired or blind if you add it up across the United States. And this was published in Archives of Ophthalmology earlier this year. And for this analysis, we used very similar data, except we added two more years of the national survey that were available. So we take that dollar figure, we divide it by the number of 18 to 64-year-olds who would be the most likely ones to be paying taxes that are going to support the care for these individuals, and we get a dependency ratio. And what we can ask is, as the population of the United States ages, and since there are good projections of what the population might look like through the year 2030 in terms of the age distribution, as the population ages, how will this dependency ratio change? How big of an impact might that have? And where, and we have to think about then, where will the money come from to support the needs that will arise? So again, this is conceptually similar to other dependency ratios, except the numerator now, it's not numbers of people, it's numbers of dollars. Okay, and so the data are on individuals aged 40 and older. We chose age 40 and older because Prevent Blindness America previously had funded some work where people combined data from a bunch of large epidemiological studies and came up with an estimate of the prevalence of visual impairment and blindness by five-year age groups for ages 40 and older. So we took those individuals from the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. We used 9 years' worth of data, as you can see, from 1996 to 2004, which gave us 100 and some thousand observations. The self-reported vision, you can see what it is there, five categories, no visual impairment, blind at the other end, three in the middle. We took all of them to be indicators of visual impairment. We could have drawn the line other places, but that's the work that we did. All dollar figures were adjusted to 2004 dollars, so that we used the medical care inflation adjustment, so that everything is in 2004 dollars. We don't have to try to worry about the comparisons between 1996 or 97 and 2004 that way. So estimating the average burden per person, we estimated the excess informal care. And the key for the definition that Medical Expenditure Panel Survey uses for informal care, they don't ask about informal care that you got from anyone. They only asked in the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey about informal care received from people outside the household. So if a person's spouse is providing them with more support on a day-to-day basis than someone else might need, that's not captured. And certainly a lot of the informal care or extra help that people with visual impairments receive is from people who live in their households. So if anything, we're underestimating the impact at a population level when we use this estimate that only asks about the extra care that you're getting from people outside of the home. And then we also looked at the extra medical care expenditures. And while I don't break it down into different types of medical care expenditures in what I'm reporting today, what I had reported previously indicated that one of the big expenditures for people who have visual impairment or blindness who are living in the community, which is a requirement for being in this medical expenditure panel survey, is for home care services. And that, at the end of the day, probably isn't a surprise. The results come from a multivariable analysis after controlling for this whole list of variables you can see, and so the excess of medical care utilization and the excess of informal care received is after we've said, well, they're probably different age, they might be different race and ethnicity, difference in sex, difference in insurance status, and even controlling for hypertension and diabetes, you still have a statistically significant different amount of medical care and informal care being received by those who are visually impaired or blind. And we have to find a way to put a dollar value on informal care, and we used what was the minimum wage at the time that the research was done, which is $5.15 per hour. There are a variety of approaches in the health economics literature as to how to value the time of someone who's providing unpaid care services. This is probably the most conservative way of placing a value on their time, although we don't know whether the people who are providing these unpaid services would have been working otherwise or not. We could try to figure out how old they are and ask what their average wage would have been. We could try to figure out if they were employed, what kind of job they were in, and estimate their wage that way. Or we could simply say we're going to use a very conservative estimate and say it's just valued at minimum wage, which is what we did. National projections. So the way that we made the national projections, the analysis of the survey data gave us a per person amount. For the national projections, we took the age-specific prevalence estimates that had been developed under the work previously funded by Prevent Blindness America. We took the U.S. Census Bureau population projections out through 2030, and then combining those, we got a dollar per person multiplied by the number of people and the prevalence of blindness or visual impairment at each time period. And so what we then calculated is the level of monetary burden per person of the traditional working age. So if we divide the total burden, which in 2004 was $5.5 billion, by the number of working age people in the United States population, what is that ratio? So for every 18 to 64-year-old in the United States, what is the extra money that has to come from somewhere, probably some from their taxes, in order to fund care? So what did we find? We find, one, for each person who is blind, they spend on average, and that's even after controlling for all the other variables on that list that I showed you in a multivariable analysis, they spend over $2,000 in excess medical care expenditures, and they receive an extra 5 days of informal care from people outside of their household. Similarly, in a similar way, the people with visual impairment spend an extra $1,000 on medical care each year and receive just over 1 day extra. Again, this is from people outside of the home and not from people inside of the home, and that could make a very big difference if we had those data. So what does this end up looking like? So what you can see here, and it might be difficult to read the numbers down in the bottom left-hand corner, what you can see here is that most of the states are this solid gray, which says it's a ratio of between $35 and $45 per 18 to 64-year-old in that state. And then the striped ones are only $25 to $35 per 18 to 64-year-old in that state. Okay? And that's what it looks like in 2005, given the age distribution of the United States in that year. So if we go ahead in five-year intervals, you know, the first step is that we see a little less of the simple stripe, little more gray, and the crosshatch, which moves us up to $45 to $55 per person who's 18 to 64. We move up to 2015. There's very few left that are in the $25 to $35 range. 2020, you see the change continuing to progress. Now we've moved into 2025. What you see is that some states have become very old, because what this is really picking up is the change in prevalence as the population becomes older and older. And it's also picking up, any decrease, when the Census Bureau makes population projections, they're also thinking about people moving into areas in addition to people aging in place in areas. And some of this might be picking up the fact that 18 to 64-year-olds aren't going to some of these places while the people who are there are aging. And so you can see in Florida in particular, West Virginia, another state with a much older population, and the Upper Plains states have all gotten to over $55 per working age person. And in 2025, there's only one state that remains, at least using the current census projections, where the ratio is only $25 to $35. And by 2030, looking at the projections, you'll notice the entire Northeast is now in that $55 per person who's working age or higher range. Florida and a couple other states in the Southeast, and no state now is at that level similar to where we are today of $25 to $35 per person of working age. And again, what this is saying is that we're going to basically double the amount of extra medical care based on people being visually impaired or blind, the dollar value that is going to be received. We could also look at it in terms of absolute burden. If we look at absolute burden, Alaska has the lowest in 2007, and Alaska grows considerably over time. The District of Columbia also has a fairly low amount. They actually don't grow. And that's got to be a function of what's projected to happen with the population of the District of Columbia. If it's anything like Baltimore, and I didn't look at the figures specifically, but Baltimore has a continually shrinking population, and I don't know that the district has been growing terribly much, particularly in terms of an older population in recent years. And Wyoming, you can see, goes from $5 million to $9 million of burden just within the state of Wyoming. Conversely, you can see the states with the highest burden. Now, obviously, California is driven not by necessarily the age of the population in California, but simply by the size. And you can see Pennsylvania, Texas, New York, Florida, and California. Those are all highly populated states. And certainly, Pennsylvania and Florida, where a lot of older adults move to, Pennsylvania, a lot of aging in place is still going on in the state of Pennsylvania. So you can see what the dollar figures look like, and the fact that in California alone, you'll have over $500 million being spent on excess medical care associated with visual impairment or blindness in the year 2027 based on these populations. Now these graphs, hopefully they're not terribly difficult to interpret. What these say, we're interested in two things. If we want the ratio to stay the same, so that the cost, in some sense, per person who's of working age, because again, somehow these extra costs have to be supported, thank you, so that the cost per person would remain the same, how can that happen? And what we have here is we've got on the vertical axis, we've got the future prevalence, and on the horizontal axis, we have the cost per person who is visually impaired. So if we want the ratio to be the same, or the burden on those who are of working age to be the same, either the prevalence of visual impairment has to go down, so that as the population ages, we end up with the same number of people who are impaired, or the cost of having a visual impairment has to go down, so that even though the number of people is going up, the total that we'd be spending on them would remain about the same. And basically what this is showing is that, in 2010, we don't have to see big changes from what we have right now. So, for example, if the cost were the same per person, you could still have a prevalence of about 90% of what it is. And conversely, if the prevalence were the same, the cost would still increased quite substantially to maintain the same burden on those, again, who are paying taxes, or we have to find other ways of funding it, or we have to raise more money from the people who are paying taxes and push other things aside in terms of our spending, or, God forbid, we have to raise taxes. So it's a point that, given the burden that we're observing, without changing the trends, the amount that's going to be paid, the amount that'll have to be displaced from spending on something else, will have to change significantly unless we're either able to change the cost of having a visual impairment in terms of the excess medical care that people are using, again, or the prevalence itself. So in conclusion, the dollar burden per person of traditional working age never grows to amounts in excess of $100 per person. So we're not talking about huge amounts that have to be spent to provide for the extra medical care that people are using once they become visually impaired. But nevertheless, the burden is doubling. Okay, so it's not a big burden, but it's a big difference from where it is now. And I think it's just something to be to pay particular attention to as we think about planning, as we think about things that can be done for prevention, and as we think about where the resources are going to come from for any type of spending that we need to do in order to care for the population and in order to allow people to remain living in the community when they have visual impairments or blindness. Thank you. Right, so the numerator is if we add up all of the excess medical expenditure by all of the people who are visually impaired or blind. The denominator is all of the 18 to 64-year-olds.